Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing. Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit. Till that secret, sacred place of you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you'll see me through.
Of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor Dr. Reverend Marie Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. We have a Spirit-filled lesson on today, so we're going to get started. Announcements. Amazing Grace School of Ministry classes, and they're going through the Old Testament survey part one. That's Genesis through Nehemiah. It has started, but there is still time to register with Dr. Carey. Please email her at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital AmazinGrace. MinistriesAt gmail.com for your enrollment forms. In addition, if you need more information concerning this, please contact Dr. Maria Carey at 309-750-7584. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 43-8411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. And to those that have sent the donation, we thank you for undergirding this ministry. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text 309-750-7584, or you can email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com, or the link /tobtiara.com/s/119292 37. Prepare to hear a word that will captivate your mind. It will change your life. Christ has come that we might have life more abundantly. Time is moving on in 2021. Don't get left behind. God is saying we are breaking out and rebuilding the destitute places. The theme for April 2021, Jesus is rebuilding the foundation. The lesson for this third Saturday is resistance to recovery, dealing with the spiritual and political issues of today. Ezra 10:10-12, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. 10, and Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now, therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. Nehemiah 2:18-20. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will rise and build. But ye have no portion, no right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Our introduction. Today, we are still dealing with deaths due to coronavirus. We now have vaccines on the scene, but still people are dying from this pandemic. We have been allowed to go out and public places are opening up. But with that, we are still wearing masks. In addition to seeing the trial of ex-police officer that caused the death of George Floyd, it seems every time we turn on the TV that there has been an injustice that has been committed on people of color. How does a routine traffic stop end in the death of African-American man, or why is there a 13-year-old teenager outside at 2:30 a.m. in the morning and as a result is killed by the Chicago police, which didn't have a gun in his hand as was reported? If we did not know, now we do. It's praying time. Today we will deal with Ezra and Nehemiah. We're talking about resistance to recovery, dealing with spiritual and political issues. There are some individuals that say that church and state should be separated, but we need a clear foundation of holiness in all areas of life. The Bible tells us that we are to be holy because God is holy. So today we're talking about the decay of a society that had been in captivity but is brought by God. God requires of us to obey his commands. We're living in perilous times, in a time where the Bible says men will be lovers of themselves more than God. We can see that unfolding right in front of our faces. But we are to lift up the name of the Lord and set a standard of holiness before the world. Definitions of resistance: the refusal to accept or comply with something, the attempt to prevent something by action or argument, the ability not to be affected by something, especially adversely. Recovery, a return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength, the action or process of regaining possession or control of something stolen or lost. The lesson. The book of Ezra and Nehemiah, originally two parts of a single work, recounts God's restoration of Israel and the people's role in the work of renewal. Ezra's task was to rebuild the temple, that's sacred, while Nehemiah's task was to rebuild the city's wall, and that's secular. Nehemiah was a faithful Jew who served as cupbearer to the Persian king Artaxerxes, a position required an extremely high level of trust, responsible for tasting the king's wine and food. The cupbearer potentially stood between the king and death. While Ezra, the religious leader, dealt with moral and spiritual problems of the time, Nehemiah, the civil leader, dealt with practical issues, such as public works and domestic defense. Nehemiah received support from Artaxerxes to rebuild the Jerusalem wall, but he encountered opposition from some of his own people. Ezra and Nehemiah was contemporaries, and they both wrote about the rebuilding of Jerusalem, which occurred approximately 70 years after it was destroyed by the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar. Ezra wrote about the rebuilding of the temple under Zerubbabel, while Nehemiah wrote concerning the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls. From ancient times, the cities located in the Middle East were surrounded by stone walls with gates that were guarded for their protection of the citizens. The important men of the city would gather at the gate where they would conduct business of the city, share important information, or just pass time. Some history of Ezra. In 597 BC, the army of King Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem, captured the city, plundered the temple, and carried the first group of exiles to Babylon, 2 Kings 24, 12 through 14. 2 Kings 24, 12 through 14, and this is the King James Version. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in 8 years of his reign, 13, and he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said, 14. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princesses and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths, none remained, save the poorest sort of the people of the land. The poorest people of the land remained in the city of Jerusalem. These events took place during the reign of King Jehoshaphat, who was among the first group of Judeans taken into exile, along with his mother and wives. That's 2 Kings 24, 15, and 16. Over the course of the next 10 years, the Babylonians periodically plundered and laid siege to Jerusalem. Finally, in 587 BC, in the 11th year of the reign of King Zedekiah, the Babylonians broke through the city walls and captured Jerusalem. They proceeded to burn down the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all the houses of the city, and then tore down the walls around the city. 2 Kings 25, 8 through 12. They captured and carried 10 of thousands of Jerusalem's residents into exile to Babylon. This catastrophic event came to be known as the Babylonian exile, Jeremiah 52, 24 through 30. Jeremiah 52, 28 through 30, this is the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive in the seventh year, 3,000 Jews and 23. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of Jews 745 persons, all persons was 4,600. Of Solomon's temple marked the end of the first temple period in 538 BC. King Cyrus of Persia conquered the Babylonians and released all the conquered nations that Babylonians had taken into captivity. Among the people he released were the Judeans, many of whom returned to Jerusalem under the leadership of Jerubbaal and Jeshua, the son of Zadok. They were successful in rebuilding the altar and, after years of delay and opposition, finally completed the second temple in 515 BC. You can read that Ezra 1 through 6. In 458 BC, in the seventh year of the reign of King Artaxerxes of Persia, Ezra the scribe came to Jerusalem. Ezra 7:7 through 8 reads, "And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests and the Levites, and the singers and the porters and the netims unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. He was skilled in the law of Moses and more than likely had been educated in Hebrew schools while in Babylon. Ezra went to Jerusalem to teach the law of Moses to the people who had returned to help restore the spiritual life and Hebrew culture to Jerusalem. The first six chapters of the book of Ezra cover a period in which Ezra was not present in Jerusalem. It is not until chapter 7 that he appeared in the book in Jerusalem. In the Jewish Talmud, Ezra and Nehemiah were considered to be a single book. There are various traditions that indicate Ezra is the author of both Ezra and Nehemiah, and others that hold that Nehemiah was the author. The book covers the period of the first returnees and the subsequent restoration of the priesthood and annual festivals. The history of Nehemiah. In 539 BC, King Cyrus and the Persians conquered the mighty Babylonian Empire. Cyrus released all the people that the Babylonians had conquered and taken as captives. One of the groups that Cyrus released were the Israelites of Judah. That's 2 Chronicles 36:22f and Ezra 1. When their captivity ended, three groups returned to Jerusalem, each under a different leader. The first group of Jews to return to Jerusalem from Babylon came under the leadership of Zerubbabel in 538 BC. That's Ezra 2 and 1. The second group came back with Ezra in 458 BC. That's Ezra 7 and 1. And finally, the third group came back with Nehemiah in 444 BC. That's Nehemiah 2, 9 through 11. Nehemiah 2, 9 through 11, King James Version says, "Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had sent captives of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel." 11. "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Each of these leaders played unique roles in rebuilding Jerusalem. Zerubbabel led in the reconstruction of the temple. That's Ezra 1 through 7, Zechariah and Haggai. The first group laid a foundation for the altar and temple and attempted to rebuild the wall around the city and hang new gates. They were interrupted by opposition from two men from Samaria, Rehum, the commander, and Shimsha, the scribe. Ezra 4:4 through 7, and 8 through 16, and 17 through 24, who wrote a letter to King Artaxerxes accusing the Jewish repatriates of plotting a rebellion against the king. They claimed that if the Jews were successful, they would not pay the tribute that they were required to pay. Years later, when Ezra arrived, he found that while the people had rebuilt the temple, they had failed to completely restore worship and reverence to the law of God." That's Ezra 7 and 10. There is a point during which Ezra and Nehemiah were both in Jerusalem at the same time. It's Nehemiah 8 and 9. Nehemiah 8 and 9 reads, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, weep not, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Nehemiah led in the rebuilding of the wall and the gates that protected the city. His work is found in the book of Nehemiah. All three of these men possessed one common trait, a strong faith in God. A spiritual leader without faith in God is like a tree without roots. He or she will not be able to overcome the trials of leadership. In verse 10, Ezra did not act on this case as a disgruntled member of the community, but with the full authority of his office as the priest. He reminded the offenders that they had transgressed God's laws. Ezra addressed everyone, not just the guilty men, but the whole assembly of Jews, those who were guilty of standing by and giving silent consent to the situation. Transgressed denotes an intentional act of breaking God's laws. Numbers 5 and 6, Joshua 22 and 31, 1 Chronicles 10, 13, 2 Chronicles 12 and 2, and then it's compared in Luke 15, 18 through 19, and then verse 21. Numbers 5 and 6 says, speak unto the children of Israel. When a man or woman shall commit any sin that man commits to do a trespass against the Lord, and that person be guilty. Joshua 22:31. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 10 and 13. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. 2 Chronicles 12 and 2. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. Luke 15, 18 through 19 says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Luke 15 and 21 says, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The practice of idolatry was a violation of the first commandment, but marrying outside the faith of Israel was an abomination. Ezra commanded that the violators confess their sins and separate from their unbelieving wives. Separate denotes a kind of divorce based upon the law. Ezra was a leader, unafraid to make a hard decision. What he did was necessary to ensure the preservation of the nation and to bring the people in line with the word of God. Ezra reflects the heart of a leader who listens to God's word and follows without regards for public. Papin mentions that Nehemiah recognized that the hand of his God was upon him so he could accomplish the task at hand. The verse that follows presents four different kinds of leader in Jerusalem: Jews, priests, nobles, and rulers. Verse 19 confirms that the three primary opponents of Nehemiah did not relent or go away. The first was Sanballat, the Horonite. Sanballat was the governor of Samaria, located about 35 miles north of Jerusalem. By birth, Sanballat was half Jew and half Moabite. Some scholars believe that Sanballat may have appointed himself or otherwise negotiated his own appointment as unofficial caretaker of Judah sometime prior to Nehemiah's arrival in Jerusalem. Nehemiah's first encounter, Sambalat's anger in 2 and 10. Nehemiah's second opponent was Tobiah, an Ammonite, who had married a woman of Jewish heritage. See Nehemiah 6 and 18. Some scholars argue Tobiah descended from a prominent family. The third opponent to join this unlikely group of characters was an Arab named Geshem. These three men were the thorn in the side of Nehemiah. When they realized that Nehemiah was planning to do, they approached him and ridiculed the effort. In 75 years, no one had been able to complete the project. The walls and gates had continued in ruin since the arrival of Zerubbabel. Doubting Nehemiah's ability to complete the task, the men laughed at, despised, and accused Nehemiah of rebelling against the king. Nehemiah was unmoved by his enemy's threats. He had complete confidence in the God of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. His confidence was well placed because he had already experienced great success up to that point. Nehemiah informed the three that they would have no place or part in the rebuilding of Jerusalem. One of the reality leaders faces while doing the work of the Lord is that opposition exists. Whenever one sets his or her heart to do something for God, opposition comes alive. We must never, ever be surprised or discouraged by the experience of opposition. Many young preachers, managers, supervisors, and leaders fail to achieve their goals because they refuse to anticipate the possibility of opposition. Nehemiah was not intimidated by his enemies. He was ready for their opposition and the criticism that came with it. In conclusion, God isn't intimately involved in our lives as he was in Ezra's life. And like Ezra, we are sometimes enabled to do the impossible. Ezra did the impossible, for the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. Ezra 7 and 9. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. Every believer is a living temple, Corinthians 6 and 19, in which the Holy Spirit dwells. 19 reads, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. The opposing forces in Ezra's days were people with evil in their hearts. The opposing force in our Christian lives today is evil himself, Satan, who has come to destroy us and in turn destroy God's temple, John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Our goals should be worthy in God's eyes as well as our own. Yesterday's sorrows can be today's successes if the hand of the Lord is upon us. Ezra's goal was worthy in God's eyes, and he effectively used the returning Jews' sorrow for the success of rebuilding God's city and restoring worship. Nehemiah stands as a testament to faithfulness and perseverance. He lived far away from his home, yet he never gave up hope that someday he will return to it. He spent most of his life in exile in a pagan land, yet he never wavered in his faith and trust in God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was a prayer warrior, putting everything before the Lord in prayer, interceding on behalf of his people, and he was rewarded for his diligence and perseverance. Nehemiah cared so much for his people that he never gave up the hope of their restoration, not only to their homeland, but to the God that first called their forefather, Abraham, out of the same area and made a covenant with him, one that Nehemiah believed would stand forever. Therefore, let's speak truth to the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We come humbly yet boldly before your throne of grace. Before we ask you for anything, God, we thank you for everything. Everything that you have done, everything that you are doing, and everything that you are going to do. God, we thank you for who you are. You are the great God. There is none like you. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You are the beginning and the ending, and we love you. Lord, you are majestic. We thank you for saving us from a life of sin and shame, and we ask that you forgive us of our shortcomings. Forgive us of our sins that we have committed. Wash us again, Lord. Do for us what only a God like you can do. Strengthen us that we can carry out the plans that you have for us. Now I will, but thy will be done. Thank you for this lesson that was prepared by Dr. Carey, Lord, because we know that there is power in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, bless her and continue to work her work in her life. Look on your people everywhere. Look on the bereaved families that are losing loved ones. Look on the sick and shut in. Look on Brother Tyree. Look on Tracy, God. Touch us. Touch us from the top of our heads to the sole of our feet. You know what we need, God. Meet the need. Look on our leaders. Continue to allow them to operate in the anointing of the Holy Ghost with the spirit of excellence. For it's all for your glory, God. God gets the glory. You get your glory, God, out of our lives. Look on those that ask for prayer. Look on all unspoken requests. Look on the listeners. Lord, one by one and name by name. God, you are a great God, and you're greatly to be praised. Now, God, be with us in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio this morning.